Okay, I'm Jim Stauffer. I'm the facilitator for the afternoon. Did we manage to find a female facilitator to help out? Okay, well, it's not too heavy end of an afternoon, so here we go. We have to do a quorum count, and at this point in time, we've had a few delegates leave, and they turned in their cards. We have currently 33 delegates on record who are present, and we will lose quorum if we drop below 32, so we're starting to get close here. So, no, I'm sorry, that's... No, we had a maximum of 35 delegates come in and register during the day. We have to stay at 90% of that level. Okay, so we need to do a quorum count at this time. So would all delegates please pull out their cards? And maybe if somebody could double-check the count. Oh, that's not my card. I'm getting 22, and there's supposed to be 33 in the room. What's 80% of 33?
One more. There's more people.
We'll have to do a recount. They're coming.
24 carries 2, 23, 26.
Okay, we need
20.
Oh, we need you.
Oh,
fuck.
Wait a minute.
You
got
me.
Hold
on. Okay, well, let's wait a second till they get... Well, okay, I suppose we can count here and see if somebody comes in. Okay, let's count again if we can. And 26. I'm getting 26. We need 27 for quorum. I have no idea. If you just walked in, then I didn't count you. Okay, 27, we are here.
That's fine. It's okay with me to break up this pub. I'm gone.
Okay, see you.
Thank you.
Okay, and what we're going into right away is the GPUS delegation election. The candidates are listed in your packets. Are either of those candidates here? I think there's... Okay. Okay, and this is allocated for 20 minutes. Do we have a timekeeper right now? Is it the same? Okay. Okay, and who is collecting the ballots?
Dorothy Kemeny is not here.
Okay, our...
Clark will.
Okay, Clark. And John Winger, would you, since you've got software on there, can you help out with this too? Okay, so Clark and John are going to kind of be our collection points. And it would be nice if we could get these turned in and announce the results before the end of the day. Yeah, we have 20 minutes, so we can have Sandra give a little introduction, and then we also are specifically allowing time for Q&A. So, let us go.
Okay, what this body is a delegation from this state to the Green Party of the United States. We're in constant session 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. California has been allocated 42 delegates, and we could have as much as 42 alternates. Right now we have with resignations, people moving out of the state, and terms being up. We have 8 openings on our delegation. There's only 3 people who have applied, one of which who has been an alternate, and he's requesting to move up to delegate, and that's Jack Lindblad. He's been doing all the work of a delegate. And Bernie McDonald, who's listed as an alternate, has been a delegate, but he doesn't want to continue taking the responsibility of being a delegate, so he's moving down to alternate. Number what? It's 2 different elections, yeah. Okay. So it is important, unless you absolutely do not want someone to be a delegate, for you to rank everybody, because with IRV, there's this minimum number of votes you gotta get, and then we've sometimes lost a good delegate, like the first time Craig ran. And he's now an SC co-chair. So just because people didn't know him, he wasn't there, and they didn't bother to vote for him. So please, unless there's somebody here who you absolutely don't want to be a delegate for you, please vote for everybody. Rank everybody. Yeah,
he's kind of another Nader spin-off type of website and something. So he's pretty humble active in his own writing. And I think probably a lot of people, he was here yesterday, he's pretty quiet spoken person.
Yeah, Marnie was the one with the little baby here yesterday. Marnie was on the national delegation in Oregon, and as soon as I saw her write the list saying, I'm moving from Oregon to California, I contacted her and got her to sign up to continue in her role, and also she's been very active in the international committee and has traveled around the world, and they run the website Green Change. Green Change. So they're longtime activists. We're living in Oregon, have moved to Marin County. Right. Yeah, she's on the international committee. She's been on the international committee representing Oregon. She's now on the international committee representing California, along with me and I forget who the other person is at the moment. Okay, so.
For the record, can you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
Sanda Everett San Mateo.
Everett.
Everett. Sanda.
Larry Mullen, Fresno County. Just for your edification on the construction of the ballot, the reason Bernie's listed is because I was given the name and a bylaw says you have to elect the alternate, but in this case we have an alternate who was elected to a delegate and wants to take the lower office of being the alternate. So some people's opinion is that he doesn't have to be on here. I put him on here. To follow the bylaws, he has to be on here. But he's a delegate who was elected, and it's one of those glitchy things in bylaws that we probably need to take care of. Oh, by the way, the listing of the candidates is by the Secretary of State's random order. That's another bylaw.
Hi, if I could have your attention for a minute. We do have a little bit of a glitch here on quorum. Right after we did the quorum counts, 2 more delegates handed their delegate cards in and left. We've actually dropped below quorum threshold at this point.
But did they turn in their ballots?
No, they did not turn in ballots. They left before the ballots were handed out.
Okay.
were below quorum. Well, if there are... Right, and we just checked for quorum, and it isn't there.
No, we checked for quorum, and got it, and then after that, but the bylaws don't say that specifically that if after a quorum check, people turn in cards, then it's not the bylaws.
The bylaws say you're actually supposed to check quorum with every decision, unfortunately. Yeah, and we even lowered the quorum threshold in a proposal last time, and it still killed us here. So.
Let's just turn in the cards and let the bylaws committee figure it out. That's all we can do.
Well, we can go ahead with that, but it's got to be recorded at this point in time that it is disputed. But we can go ahead with it. Unless there are some... if there are people here, if there are observers sitting here who could be deputized by their delegation to become delegates... So you're tapped out.
I think we have 7 delegates. Do we have Orange County delegates? Orange County delegates, raise your hands.
You're tapped out.
Orange County just walked in. 4, 5.
All right.
Okay, let's. Okay, let's do another count here. All delegate card, please. Everybody has to listen to this. If you're a delegate, get your card up. I'm still getting only 25.
28.
You got 28? Yep. 28. Crappy counter. Hold up your
cards.
Hold up your cards. Some people stand.
Hold them up. Hold them up.
Sandy,
put this down. Did you get Sandy?
Sandy,
put your
cards up. Did you get Sandy? 28. 28. Great. Wait. Excuse me. 28. What I... I'm sorry, the requirement is that there has to be... Okay, if we are still in session, folks, if we could focus for a minute. We're still on the GPUS delegation election, and I want to step out of my role as facilitator for a minute because there was a concern I wanted to raise. I know everybody's cast their ballots, but I would still like to make this concern. I'm Jim Stauffer from Santa Clara County. My concern is that we are looking more and more and more like the California chapter of the GPUS rather than the Green Party of California, in that the GPUS delegation is like 60 persons strong and all of our state committees are very, very weak, some of them completely non-existent. There's really only a couple of them that are really showing signs of life. And I don't know, I don't fully understand what the attraction is, but every new volunteer we get just wants to go to GPUS. We do not have anybody wanting to staff our state party anymore. Yes, it is an agenda item. It is on the agenda. My concern about the GPUS election, yes. That's what this was. And we're not going to debate this. I have a right to express my concerns here. And so my concern is that we're losing it as a state party, and we're concentrating way too much on the national, and that's really contrary to the Green philosophy. We're supposed to be the local group that comes on up, you know. The presidential election should be the least important office to us, and city council should be the most important. So I would like people to consider this and think about how we might rectify the situation.
Well, since the stack has been opened on this and it wasn't on the agenda, I have something to say on the topic. I believe that the GPCA should disaffiliate from the GPUS. I was elected on that platform. I got more first-choice votes on the basis of that platform than any other delegate who was running. I think that GPUS was formed in order to control our ballot line and has succeeded to do that. And it actually does not offer anything. The only reason we keep recruiting people to be GPUS delegates is so that we have a fair vote in this body, which has proven itself so unaccountable that it doesn't matter if we have a fair vote in the body, because if we succeed in passing something after years of effort, they just ignore it anyway. There's a little oligarchy. It's like six people who controls everything. And when someone in the little oligarchy says that, you know, decides that they don't want to abide by one of the rules that we just spent years passing, they just overrule it. And there's no recourse at all. There's no accountability. There's no recourse. There's no transparency. It cannot be fixed. It's a completely rump organization, and we should disaffiliate. The problem is that it takes 80% to disaffiliate. And so, meanwhile, we have to maintain our vote on there.
And I'm going to hold all speakers down to 1 minute.
Jan Arnold, Alameda County. I think that if a couple of the committees are showing signs of life, that's because those committees have a function which is clearly understood by people who come to these plenary meetings. Those committees are feel okay to function in, and if there are committees that are having trouble recruiting, I would suggest that either it's unclear why they exist, unclear what their mandate is, or there's something about those committees and the way they're run which makes it difficult for a new person to get it, to understand why they should even go during a breakout session to find out what that committee is doing. I think if the committees that are having trouble recruiting really want to know why they're having trouble recruiting, they could find out. The way they should do that is to ask 5 or 10 people what they, you know, off the record, privately.
Okay, so I don't think it's a problem of too many, San Everett, San Mateo County, of too many people wanting to go to national. Some people like functioning at the national level. I mean, I think the problem is we don't have a large enough pool of activists, period, whether activists to choose to go to the national, to work at local levels, to work at county levels, to work at state levels. We need to figure out how to grow our party and grow the activist layer of our party, not just registered voters. And before I got involved with the delegation, I wasn't really active on state committees. I like working at the national level and working with Greens all over the country, and different people have different interests.
Okay, and also the stack is now closed with, I guess that's Greg at the end there, okay.
Craig Thorson, Los Angeles County. 2 years ago, I wanted to be appointed to a seat on the L.A. County Council. I was denied that possibility of serving for 2 years by the powers to be in L.A. County Council at the time. I went to the state level and asked to be appointed to a national committee, the BURP. They approved me. I got involved with national politics. I petitioned in Virginia, got 1,000 signatures. I petitioned in Arizona, got 420 signatures. I got involved at the headquarters. I am on five national committees because L.A. County Council 2 years ago would not let me serve locally. That's why I'm involved nationally and not locally.
Linda Piera Avila, Los Angeles County. About a year and a half ago, I believe the National Delegate Apportionment Committee or Council, whatever, increased the number of delegates, national delegates, that California was apportioned from like 21 to like, 13 to 42. So there was this big push to get more national delegates on that committee from California. Big push. We had to have more national delegates. And I got a call from Greg Jan. Lisa Taylor and I got a call from Greg Jan. And he like did this arm twist thing, you know, and he recruited us. Now, I'm saying that facetiously. We were flattered. So Greg Jan recruited Lisa Taylor, myself, and I'm sure a lot of other good people. And so we joined. And I have to say, under the leadership of Greg Jan and Sanda Everett, the National Committee has been a very functional committee, and it's a collegial group of people who agree to disagree when needed, respectfully, and we get things done. And so I found it very gratifying to be on that committee. Thank you.
I'm not going to state my name because this is totally out of turn. Just in case I forget, the little name tag holders, when you leave, we'd like to collect them here. If you just leave them on the back table of registration, that'd be great. If not, just leave them lying on any table or any surface here, and we'll find them when we're cleaning it up. So just the little things going around your neck here. Thank you.
Jean Rosenmeyer from San Francisco. I want to agree with Jim. I remember the Saturday night events we used to have at these plenaries that were successful before 2/3 of the people here became part of the U.S. delegation. My other point is, it's so totally unsustainable to have that many people ever go to a national meeting, that we should not be doing that, and we shouldn't be wasting our money on paying people's travel expenses to do it either. And, you know, our number one thing that we want at national should be that we can have two people carry all our proxies.
I've been a Green since November of 1988, and I did not represent our state party formally ever nationally until recently. Because I generally embraced what Jim was saying before. The two reasons I did it was, one, the state party just got to be such a drag after being on the coordinating committee and basically, in my personal opinion, seeing that the party rules and procedures meant absolutely nothing. I felt like there was just not an environment to be productive. So I thought I would try and go somewhere where I can actually get work done, because I felt the state party wasn't a valid mechanism to advance green politics. And I didn't go to our last plenary in part as well. This was close, and I really respect the Orange County Greens for putting this on. And I thought I would come and try and respect that. And the other reason is I saw how much the Cobb versus Nader thing cost us around the country after 04, and I wanted to get in there and make sure we did it right in this cycle, and at least get our rules in place, which I did by joining our National Bylaws Committee, and now we have permanent rules to deal with presidential stuff.
Peggy Coteen, San Luis Obispo. I'm on the national delegation, but I've been on the county council locally, God, since the mid-90s. And with the state party, I'm on the platform committee, and I have yet to join a committee for the national delegation, much to others' despair. So I think we can do both. And about last night, there were only 15 of us on the national delegation who disappeared for an hour and a half meeting. And I also agree the nighttime activities were great that we used to have, and it's unfortunate it wasn't so great last night in terms of attendance. And also, I totally disagree with Kat that the GPCA should disaffiliate with GPUS and that she got elected on that platform. She got elected because she was a known name and people didn't even regard what her little flyer she was passing around, in my opinion. So thank you very much.
Greg Jan, Alameda County. I got three things. One is... The relationship between the national party and the state party is very complex, and hopefully next year it'll get worked out. I think the national is realizing there's a lot of, you know, financial implications and representation implications that, you know, it's got to get settled. I mean, both the state party and the national party are very much in debt, and so as Gene Rosenmeyer mentioned, you know, we got to work out the financial aspect, but it's very complex. So hopefully, you know, next year sometime we'll work better on that. The second thing is that just because people are on committees doesn't mean they're active and do work on committees. And so just because we got a lot of people on the national, you know, I mean, actually, I, as you noted, I recruited a lot of people, but it was because we especially needed people to be there for important votes. And many of the people said, okay, I'm way too busy to be active in anything except to be on call for an important vote. So don't be under the illusion that just because we have, you know, 40 delegates and 20 alternates that they're all active. No, I mean, you know, over half of them are not active. And the third thing is that recruitment works. Okay? So, you know, if we got important committees, got important positions, you got to prioritize them, identify them, and get out the word that we need those positions and recruit. So recruit, recruit, recruit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a good discussion. And basically that concludes GPUS delegation election. Now, we have one little situation. It's been reported to me that only 26 ballots were turned in. We would need to see, in spite of the fact that there was 28 delegates in the room, we need 27 votes cast to say we made quorum. So are there some delegates that did not vote? Or what is this explanation here? Okay. Right. Okay, but it looks like we've got it. There's two more people who are filling out ballots.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that, so no problem. Okay, we're going to move on, and I might need to explain a little that this afternoon agenda is a little different than what we normally do in the afternoons, in that we're going to take care of some of the little items that we usually do at the very end of the day. We're going to take care of them now, and then we're just going to go into the big, long brainstorming session for the strategy planning, and that's just going to carry us through to the end. So it's kind of open-ended, and however we want to stay and work on that thing. So what we're doing next is we're going to go right into standing committee and working group reports and COCO introductions. This is where the committees and the groups get to stand up and just say a few minutes about what they're working on. If you've elected any new co-coordinators, we need them introduced at this time. So could we have all the coordinators of working groups and standing committees please come up to the front? And timekeeper, this is a 15-minute item. Where's the timekeeper? Okay. I guess I'm timekeeper. Okay, go right ahead.
Where's the microphone?
It's right in front of you.
That's why I can't see it.
Hold your hands straight up. There you are.
Right, okay, Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County. No longer COCO, now back to CO of the Campaigns and Candidates Working Group. We had a volunteer at the April plenary, Dorothy Kemeny, to be the second COCO. She decided, particularly after getting elected to County Council in Los Angeles, that that was simply too much, and on a very principled fashion submitted her resignation yesterday. So Campaigns and Candidates Working Group still needs a second COCO, and as of June 1st, 2009, it will need to have two COCOs, neither of which is yours truly, because at that point my term will end and 4 years will be enough for me. In the meantime, we had a very productive session on Saturday dealing with the issue of recommendations for candidate funding out of our state party budget line for that, and we had good discussions this morning on various issues on how our people locally are working in relationship to candidates. We have a situation where I'm going to be in communication with the presidential and vice presidential campaign, and I am looking for people to as contacts locally to relate to and work with that campaign for the remainder of the election cycle here in the state. So I have a sign-up sheet. Please come see me if you haven't gotten your name on here already. And when you go back to your counties, please recruit people and let me know who their contact information is. My information is all over the place. It's included in the plenary packet under the CCWG proposal.
Okay, Peggy Coteen, I'm standing in for Shane for the platform committee who he had to leave. We're continuing to work on different platform planks. As you know, we're still working on the tax reform plank and got some good suggestions. At our meeting, it was a nice full meeting with a number of new people coming in and working with us. And we worked quite a bit on the, spent some time on the Green Science platform and got a couple kinks out of it, and then we were grateful to pass it at this plenary. Taxation, we began to work on part of it, and we'll continue to do it in the platform committee email list. And the water plank, we never even got to talk about in person, but we've been talking about on the email list. And if anyone wants to be part of that email list so that you can discuss the tax plank, you know, as a group with everyone, have an exchange, that's great. And if you have, if you didn't come to the meeting and you want to be on that email list, I can get your email address to Shane, and you can be part of like an observer status and not a real platform committee member. And that would be great, because I know so many of you have issues with the taxation plank, and but you don't have an outlet so to give your information to, and so we can make the changes and adapt it. So please get involved in that way if you have suggestions. We need your input. Thank you.
I'm taking the name of your committee, platform committee. That,
yeah, Shane Huey is the...
Okay. Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County, reporting for GROW. GROW had a real substantially full meeting, isolated out the items that we can strategize around over the next 2 years, being very careful not to overshoot with the resources we have monetarily and volunteer-wise, which are fairly limited at this time. So we bit off, you know, only four things. We also had a very robust discussion about local building, which is one of the four things, and paired up with Gene Rosemeyer from finance to look at doing joint county-state fundraising in behind advertising for an event so we can begin to start rebuilding our locals coming into the slow year. So it was a good GROW meeting. We will continue having our monthly teleconferences, which in the last 1 year have always reached quorum, and we've been able to get business done on those. If anybody would like to become involved with GROW, be in touch with either myself from Northern California, Ellen Mason from Southern California is the other GROW coordinator. We also use on GROW activators. If you want a project, you just become the coordinator of that project. We'll figure out the volunteerism and the budget for that. GROW also relishes visitors and observers to their list because it's a large list, and any input you would like to make, you're more than welcome. I'm going to take my go to the back of the stack for the next committee report.
I'm Daniel Alevi from Orange County. I'm one of the new co-coordinators for the Green Issues Working Group. The other new co-coordinator is going to be Jamie, and then Sandy Stiasny is going to be one of our alternates. One of the issues that we talked about is the fact that the group has been, I guess, dwindling in the past few years, and so we're going to try to get the word out that we're keeping it going, and try and get the word out for contribution from locals for like what their issues are, what people in their areas are working on, and how we can coordinate on a state level to help help get promotion of the issues and what the group could really. How the group could help them and what the group can be, because no one was too clear on what it's been in the past. Some short-term goals just until the next plenary were, to get our discussion group together and maybe work on a presentation for a COCO workshop and. Yeah, just ask for people to contribute their issues, and then we talked about our individual issues, surrounding animal rights, alternative transportation, anti-nuclear, anti-war, homelessness, education, and impeachment for the people that were there. If anybody wants to be on an email list for that group, I have the sign-up sheet.
Okay, and this is Jim Stauffer from the IT group, and I'm sure you all know we're the ones who maintain the server presence, the websites, the email lists, et cetera, et cetera. And we are always in need of technical assistance, and certainly now more than ever we would really like some help. I would appreciate you people sort of spreading the word within your county. We're looking for people with IT skills, and anybody who has to ask what that means doesn't have IT skills. So it's kind of this self-filtering process. But no, seriously, please spread this word around, because we're looking for people with these technical skills. They're kind of hard to find. So would appreciate you spreading the word and seeing what you can come up with. Thank you. IT, information technology.
Okay. And that's IT working group, IT group.
IT, it's, if you really want it, subgroup of the communications group.
Okay, IT committee.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your county?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Okay, are we done, or what are you doing here?
Oh. Hi, I'm Jane, and I'm one of the co-coordinators of ERWG. We had a really good meeting, and I'm sorry to say I didn't bring back my notes. We had two of those big sheets full of projects we want to work on, because we're just reactivating. And a couple of the things we're working on is getting back to getting someone to sponsor our elections code so we can have our own elections code. And in the meantime, we're also working on a project of finding where there's discrepancies between, well, I should say gaps, between what's in the Peace and Freedom election code that we're following and when we've been allowed to not follow that by the Secretary of State's office, and where we can fill in some gaps in our bylaws in the meantime so things are clarified and we don't have to figure out what we're supposed to do like we did yesterday morning, trying, do we need to endorse McKinney and those kinds of things. So we're trying to solve some big problems, so I think we've got lots of work. We had a group, about 10 people there. We're going to start having our telephone conferences again. So if anyone wants to get on the list and start getting on the telephone conferences, the next one we have scheduled is for September 21st at from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Oh, sorry.
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. Clearinghouse, under the umbrella of communications, sat in with IT and went over the few things that we've rebuilt in Clearinghouse over the last couple months. It's a fairly small group, administrative in nature, taking care of answering the state email, state phone, state snail mail, and sending out materials. And by the way, thank you and all of you that are not here for being so honest with putting in money and taking stuff out of the boxes. One of the first plenaries in a while where everything seems to be accounted for. The next report, again, Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. Bylaws had a small meeting. Our two co-coordinators couldn't make it this weekend. And bylaws sat, reviewed some of the projects that we've had ongoing. We also delineated a few of the projects that we'd like to see getting done over the next year or 2 year strategy, one of which will be brought back to the plenary big time, is the Article 2 purpose for this party. And we will be making an announcement to county contacts and to other and all counties to get feedback from a project and wording that we started some time ago. And that will be brought back at a subsequent plenary fairly soon. Bylaws also has a procedure for getting onto the group that we ask your adherence to. If you'd like to be a member of Bylaws and be recommended by the coordinating committee for membership onto that group, we ask that you sign up on our listserv, start coming to some meetings, work with us, see if you have the work ethic. Bylaws is real exciting for bylaw wonks, real boring for other people, but it's a very necessary thing for the party, and we'd love to have more people working with us to get a wider feedback and also to fill out the few empty seats on our group. Thank you.
Okay. And we've heard from all the committees and working groups. The next item on the agenda is requesting hosts, basically, for the next state meetings. The coordinating committee had a retreat a while back, and we discussed these things, and the schedule we're looking at, and I'll invite Larry Mullen to join in the discussion if he likes. He's co-coordinator of the coordinating committee. We're looking at, for 2007, January, April, and September. Was that it? What did I say? Next year, right. January, April, and September, and our thinking was January would be a good time for a gathering, and then April and September plenaries. The difference being a gathering is a non-decision-making event. We get together and we have a lot of workshops, presentations, and we have a lot of opportunity for our committees and working groups to get together face-to-face and get some time, get some work done. So that was generally where we were heading. It's also been, there's been some discussion among some of us that given that it's an off year as far as the election cycle goes, because the election cycle really kind of drives our schedule an awful lot. Since it is an off year, maybe we should have three full plenaries and try and get caught up on a lot of backlog of work. So that's one other possibility. But right now we are looking for hosts for January, April, and September. I don't know if there's anybody brave enough to stand up right now or prepared enough to stand up right now and commit your local, but I guess we'd like to hear if there are some people who would who are considering it, and we'll go back to your local and discuss it and give us an answer. Or any other suggestions. So, I don't know what to follow up on with that statement here. Mike, did you have?
Regarding gathering versus business meeting, my gut just told me that I was thinking, January should be business and April should be gathering. There's no right answer, but I'm just curious about what was the pro con and thinking about which order. April has to be 11.
Larry Mullen, Fresno County. At the retreat in Fresno, we spent a lot of time discussing this very thing, because one of the recommendations from previous people who were on the CC, we don't know when plenaries are scheduled. So we really spent time analyzing this. And some of the complaints of this plenary, because of costs and whatnot, had we moved it a little bit into September, say, we might have gotten different rates, and that might have affected attendance. But at any rate, in an election year, if we hold to this policy that we have of 60 days before or after election not holding a plenary, then that really limits us in terms of, that's 4 months of the year that you can't have a plenary because of the primary and the general election. So that really meant that in order to avoid the complaints of the CC not having it within that 60-day time frame, we went with August. But really and truly, in an election year, you're really driven by when the elections are. So in an off-election year, that's the one opportunity to have insert another meeting, and one of the complaints we get is we never allow enough time for dialogue on issues. So if we have a gathering, say, in January, because we have to have, because of our fiscal year being in April, we have to have that budget meeting, the other subsequent meeting could be any other time, except September seems to be a pretty good time, because later you're getting into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of those kinds of things, and then all of a sudden you're into the next year, which is another January meeting, but it happens to be an election year. So the options were, in a non-election year, we could have a gathering or a plenary, an April plenary to handle the budget things. Now, the nice thing about a January gathering is that's when the working groups need to be formulating their budgets, and we're looking at what we're going to do strategically in terms of what we're going to do with the money and that kind of thing. So there really is a lot of logical reasons why, number one, we're held to an April plenary for the first one in most years, and something in the fall, September, October, for the subsequent plenary, so they aren't too close or whatever, and then the opportunity to stick in the non-election year, the gathering or another plenary, so that we have more time to go over these. Really, we kind of rush over a lot of bylaws things, and we don't give it a lot of in-depth conversation, and some of these platform things get the 2 seconds or 2 minutes or less at the microphone in the stack. So I really think that we did a good job of analyzing when the plenaries need to be. So the one suggestion of having them rotate between north and south, well, we have limited power over who suggests that they want to take a plenary. But, yeah, north, south, central, I would say Central Valley, very ill-equipped to do a plenary at this present time, but we did a very nice COCO retreat, COCO CC retreat in Fresno, and it was nicely received by the participants. So this is sort of our schedule, and that's part of the strategic plan, that our calendar, the obligation to have a two-year calendar that's built around this schedule so working groups can get organized and get their pre-deadlines and deadlines and all of those things posted so everybody can see it. So that's sort of, thank you for asking that question, but there were some logical reasons why Jim's saying that first meeting in January in a non-election year is kind of an optional. And if we don't have things worked up to be business items, then we should have a gathering and make them be discussion items.
Okay. And one quick comment I wanted to throw in. I was the one who kind of pushed for a January meeting because presidential elections tend to be good recruiting events. We tend to get new people coming in. And so having a state meeting of some type soon after the election introduces them to the state party, gives them something to come to, and a few things like that. So I think it's always important to have a plenary very soon after a presidential election, a plenary or gathering after a presidential election. So that's how that one got thrown in. Mike.
Yeah, I think all that is very well thought out. Makes a lot of sense. I'm not aware that we have a 60-day rule, however, about inside elections, although there may be sense to not do that way, but I don't think we have a rule for that. So I wouldn't want to handicap it formally going down the line. As far as January, I want to talk about that. I think our bylaws are supposed to turn out better. It would be nice if we did something that was primarily a gathering in January, but maybe could block out three quarters of just Saturday to just try and clean up the stuff that needs to be cleaned up and get it off the table. I wouldn't want to necessarily, personally, during January, we only are a gathering of the gym. Obviously, if people are coming in and want to get involved, less than we're doing just bylaws. But like, when I think about what we met in the state building in San Francisco, they have so many great outcomes for workshops that we can spin people up and new people can go to actually fun stuff. The other thing is, I'd like to see this thing maybe in September of, if there's a September one for that one, to try and bring the tax policy one home. And I think that one needs so much work that I'd like to see that actually have a couple of hours at a meeting, just like January might have a couple of hours for bylaws, and then try and come and deal with the tax policy, because then we have in place for the 2010 election cycle.
Okay, well, we didn't have any volunteers to host the next state meeting, so I guess we'll be advertising this on the county contacts list and asking for hosts, but I would certainly encourage all of you to go back, discuss it with your locals, and see if you might be the one. Okay, moving on, we are now going to go into the strategy plan discussion, and this is slated as a two-hour item, and it will take us to the end of the day. Point of process back there. The CC at-large elections from yesterday. Yes, both candidates, Matt Leslie and Linda Salas, both passed the threshold. They were elected. Right, the at-large positions. Okay, so, Larry, how do we get started on this thing?
Larry Mullen, Fresno County. Obviously, the form is very formalized, and if anybody has any of those, one was turned in to me by Shane from Platform. We'll start writing anybody's suggestions down. I have a couple charts here. I'll try to write them down as you come up to a stack and say what you think is important to have on a two-year strategic plan. This we will take back. CC is charged by bylaws with formulating a two-year strategic plan. So this is the opportunity for input from, I guess, anybody, but delegates. We have to remember the work of the party takes place through committees, and we have to be cognizant of a timeline if it's like election related, and we also have to be cognizant of costs.
And people are coming up to just sort of talk about their their suggestions.
Yes.
Okay. What? Is 1 minute going to be sufficient for people?
There's so few of us that it's 2 hours. Can we have a little more?
Okay. If anybody goes way too long.
Right. Send Everett San Mateo. For me, though, I think we have lots of important work to do. What I feel like we need is a improved structure of how to have that work happen, and for me, a lot of that has to do with Jim Stauffer just disappeared. I need you here. IT. And we need more people in IT committees, because I think right now, I mean, there's supposedly 120,000 Green Party members in the state of California. They're not here. We need to find out again how to grow that activist layer. So, and I think the main way we need to do that is to communicate with them. Most of them don't even know you have a county council. They don't know there's a straight date Green Party. They don't know that there's too many of us on the national committee. They don't know any of us exist. You know, we need to have a way to reach out to other people who are as passionate or close to as passionate as this idealistic environmentalist, naive idealistic environmentalist, gullible naive idealistic environmentalist, to be able to grow this party. And I think a lot of that is going to be through various forms of technology. I mean, people have been talking about more blogs and forums, and I mean, I think getting that list that Mike was talking about from the state, even though it'll only probably 10% have green emails, we need to be blogging. People need to learn how to use YouTube and Digit and all these different ways to reach out to people that the next generation is growing, you know, like, and that all of us need to get on board with. And I know for a fairly old person, you know, I've learned a lot of technology, and I think all of us need to know lots of technology, and we need to have ways to reach out to people and grow us. Well, it's internal, but it's got to get beyond, you know, the same, you know, like, to increase the activist layer of the party, you know, because there's probably, I mean, at the most 100 to 200 activists, and, you know, like, and we're getting, our plenaries are getting smaller and smaller, and we just need to have a way to communicate to get people involved with the day-to-day functioning of the party.
I have a lot to say. I'm going to just try and be as brief as I can. I was appointed to our strategy committee that we set up after we passed the strategy or the work plan bylaw. And some of you may remember that I left the Tahoe State meeting, and I just want to let you know why, because it had to do with this whole strategy thing. When I got there, myself and one other person were supposed to be on the committee, and I had been assigned to do work. When you ask somebody who is competent to do work and they put in time to do that, then it's like a job hire. You hire somebody to do something, they fulfill it, they should be able to go ahead and present that. And what happened was, instead of the presentation of me who had done the work for 4 or 5 months, another individual who simply liked the idea to talk about long-range planning, but because she was a woman of color, was basically inserted in front of me and basically said, okay, you know what? You go ahead and make the presentation, and Mike will talk later.
in my mind, a party that doesn't understand that when you ask capable people to do work and then you don't allow them to follow through, if a party, especially the talented person in our party who said to me, no, you're not going to go, we're going to put this other person simply because she hits the check marks of political correctness, a party that has that poor judgment, in my mind, isn't going anywhere. And I was so distressed after having come back from a German Green Party strategy session the week before and then seeing our state party being that idiotic that I just walked out. So that's why I didn't make the presentation at that point. I want to just, I'm going to hand in everything written because I've done a long written draft for us, but the two major pieces I put through is this. Number one, before we get into election strategy and party building strategy, I felt like we needed to be clear internally, simply what do our rules and our election deadlines tell us we're supposed to do and when, and what does that say about what should go on a state party plenary agenda. And one of the things that we've seen here is we've had all these agenda committee fights and then fights at the coordinating committee about what gets approved for a state meeting. It's a political football and everybody jockeys around and there's no rhyme or reason about what gets on an agenda. So I simply did a very simple thing and I made four categories about the kind of things that should be on a state agenda and gave them certain prioritization. And there are certain things that are mandated, like our internal elections. So when we do a two-year work plan, you simply plot out over the plenaries, when are all the internal elections? You write them in there. That has to happen. The next thing are the things that follow past practices, like the working sessions for standing committees and working groups. You pencil those in. The third thing is the election cycle deadlines. What are those things that we have to do? You write those in. And then after that, there's only a limited amount of time. And when you look over to your cycle, then you see what are the items that different working groups and committees that are subjective want to put forward. And you try in every year when you do your two-year work plan and you update it, you just try and make a guesstimation about, well, when is the right time to deal with the platform planks? When's the right time to deal with this and that? Now, some people have said, oh, if we do that now, we're taking away all future flexibility. No, we're not. But it makes sense for us to still mark things in. That takes away all the dysfunctionality in the coordinating committee because we're giving them direction from the plenary about how to agendize stuff, and we don't have this political fight. So I basically did a two-year draft at that time because I sat through and went through the bylaws and all the mission statements of all the different working groups. And it's not that hard to do. It just takes somebody to be a nerd, an administrator, to kind of go through all of that. The second piece is that I saw that our internal, the noticing inside the party of internal deadlines and external deadlines is haphazard or not existent. And therefore, for example, we don't notify people when county council elections are going to be the next year. How do you go ahead and run? It's the same people who run most times. There's no widespread noticing of that. There's no 120-day notice about when the coordinating committee seats are coming up or when you elect people for treasurer. Again, it's nerdy, boring stuff, but I made a schedule for both the internal deadlines and the external ones about like when you qualify to run for office, etc. Those things should go out. We got these 130,000 members in the state. You know, some of these notices should be able to be going out to thousands of our members. Again, it was just a boring schedule, and I felt like the internal and external deadlines simply need to be written into our rules and procedures so we mandate noticing. Once you have that sort of infrastructure of information, then the strategic planning about all of the election strategy can come in. And I'll just close with that about election strategy. What I really believe we need to do, because we're almost gone and have disappeared as a state party, we have fewer candidates this year since any year that we qualified for the ballot, is instead of running, and I made the same thing when we had the strategy session in Oakland a couple years ago when I debated Peter Camejo, I think rather than focusing on congressional races as much, that we need to focus on state assembly, because those are places where we can convince California voters that we actually understand how the state works. And I believe we need to run 30 to 40 candidates for state assembly next year on a common platform, so that there's a synergy of message, media, graphics, etc. The Canadian Greens do this to great advantage, and to deal primarily with land use, tax policy, development, those sort of things in the state that really affect quality of life that transcend political boundaries. And if we can do that, the other piece I'll add to that, and I'll truly will close with this, is that we know we need proportional representation and public financing to succeed. For us to get those, we have to show that we're getting reasonable percentages of the vote. our best chance of getting reasonable percentages of the vote is to pick assembly districts where the incumbent is already in office and going to be elected the first time. They're in 6-year, 3-term term limits, run in the second and third term where the seats are less likely to be contested because the incumbent's there, the other large party isn't going to run against them, and we can start to get better numbers in those districts and be able to argue to the clean money people and to the proportional representation people that instead of getting 1 to 4%, we're getting 5 to 10%. And if we do that for a couple cycles and run in the same districts, we start to build our name brand ID, because now all we do is we run in one district and we don't even return for 4 or 6 years. And we're, I think, in danger of going off the ballot in another election cycle or two because our numbers are in free fall. Thanks. I can also send it around online. Yes, I can send it to CC. Yeah. It's all there. And what I had hoped to actually do is, instead of the bylaw meeting, is actually to propose those things which should go into the rules and procedures for bylaws to bring them forward for next time.
Craig Thorson, L.A. County, and I will speak into the microphone so people can hear me. One of the projects that I have sought to do on the national level that I am offering to do on the state level is, short title, Listserv Moderation and Expectations, 4 words, under 10, themes, better communications, grassroots brainstorming, focus, moderation rules and active moderation and accountability on the listservs, activities. I'm going to research the Democrats, Republicans, Peace and Freedom, Reform Party, etc., Greenpeace, many other groups, how they moderate their lists. The number of times that I have heard of hundreds of people on listservs reading the back and forth banter between people, calling each other idiots, and why would you believe what that person says? And when a proposal has been made and somebody says, well, this is a good idea because, or somebody says, this is a bad idea because, those are constructive. The advantages and disadvantages of the proposal, that's good. That's fair discussion, no matter how passionate they are. But when we say, that person's an idiot, that's name-calling. That's inappropriate to our lists. It shouldn't be allowed. We should have our lists with constructive criticisms of the proposal, pros and cons. And when I say constructive criticism, I don't mean negatives necessarily. Affirmations and concerns about them. That's building up the proposal to either be passed or denied because it's inappropriate. But that's fair discussion. For example, a number of years ago, maybe 5-10 years ago, biodiesel. That sounds really good. Biodiesel has resulted in my relatives' farmers having a 40% increase in their crops from the last 30 years before that, when the dollar value of the crops they brought to market was the same for 30 years. Farmers were having a hard time. In the last 4 years, their crops brought to market have increased by 40%. In dollar value of what they've been able to sell. Well, that's great for my relatives. Hurrah for them. People who are depending on rice are starving in other places in the world. Biodiesel, is it a good idea? I don't think so. If you would have brought this up 10 years ago, maybe people would have thought the other day, biodiesel is the way of the future. Well, there are negative ramifications. So discussions on this sort, biodiesel, good or bad, we can have those kind of discussions, name-calling inappropriate. I expect to have this proposal ready for the national listserv by January. I could also have it available for California by January, where we can start a discussion on whether we want to have it on our listservs. The number of people, when I was gathering my signatures, contacting 60 people to get 20-some signatures, and having a number of people say, I don't want to get involved. I was on the listserv, and it was just nothing but name-calling. I don't want to be on the listserv or active with the Green Party because of this infighting. I've decided not to be a Green because of all the conflict. We need to have a way of presenting ourselves as a party who deserves to govern because we can govern. And if we can't govern our own listservs, if we allow people to demean the process with name-calling and bantering. We do not look like a party that deserves to govern.
Oh, okay. Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. Tagging on to what Mike Feinstein and Greg just said about dysfunction, name-calling, and whatnot, one thing we've talked about is having a internal mediation committee to mitigate some of those things, because I think all of us in this room can take responsibility for contributing to some of the problems that the party has had. So if we all take the responsibility to fix that and maybe assign a group. So that was one theme that has been running through the coordinating committee for the last 7 years, is to have some type of committee that can mitigate that and do exactly what you said, Greg. I'm sorry. Is to, you know, mitigate those things so that we are able to present ourselves in a more professional manner. The discussions that have come up in GROW and bylaw is, one, divide strategy between internal and external. Internal being platform, bylaws, vetting membership to committees to get more quality folks on committees. The other thing that's come out of GROW in particularly were four projects. One is Standing General Assembly, so to incorporate more locals. Two, registration. Three, developing locals, whether they're internal or external, activated county locals or locals within counties or affinity groups in the unincorporated counties, unactivated counties, excuse me. And the other is reestablishing Green Focus, the newspaper, to be that outreach tool to help facilitate those. The other thing that came out of a GROW meeting in an overall strategy, and this is fairly nonspecific, is to have the state concentrate on fundraising, developing locals, and registration. Having the money to help a local do a mail-out, get started, get reinvigorating, having the money to send a registration team out into those areas that may need help. That was the idea behind that. And the other idea that went alongside of that was to have a statewide issue that we all could work on. As to what that's going to be, that's a whole discussion unto itself. Is it healthcare? Is it water? Is it IRV, or in other words, electoral reform, something that the whole state could work on that would help put this party on the map, whether we're a small group or a large group. And the other idea that came up, because everybody has their pet issue, I'm sure that if we each put a list in of what issues should be worked on, we'd come up with quite the list. And I'm glad to see some folks standing up into green issues. Maybe we need a list of issues that could be county-centric or bioregionally-centric. In other words, you've got water in my area of the eastern part of California. Walmart, big box stores, corporate personhood is a huge issue in the counties where it affects. So we might need a we could have a list of issues and a way to affect those issues so that if San Diego wants to reinvigorate itself with an issue that affects them, you know, maybe it's the immigration issue down there. Solano County, Merced County, Los Angeles have Walmart issues. From Kern to the state of Oregon, you start talking about the presidential election and everybody gets back on the subject of water. So, you know, to have an actual list of issues and a way to affect those issues, not just saying, oh, I stand for water, but how do you get people on? One idea that came up as one brainstorms these things is to take campaigns and candidates and have a concerted effort to have one person elected to each of the over 400 water boards in the state of California. So even if you ended up with 30 members of water boards, you'd have a green contingent of 30 people that are member of water boards. And some of them are quite powerful. I mean, the water board in my county and some of the surrounding foothill counties actually rule the county. Because you do nothing without water, be it building, irrigation, or recreation. Just all the ideas that I had.
Okay, Theory, Orange County. One thing that came up in the working group I was with yesterday was the idea that we need to sell advertisements for Green Focus. And there's been some opposition to that because, well, what if corporate ads are brought in or whatever? Well, one, you can have an advertising committee oversee that, you know, make sure that all ads meet the 10 key values, that the businesses advertise meet the 10 key values. Two, you can get more done if you pay people to do it. So one thing you can do is have somebody who earns a commission selling advertisements for Green Focus. Green Focus could then be self-sustaining. You can perhaps pay for an editor. Extremely time-consuming. I've been a newsletter editor. I know how much time goes into it. I was asked a year or two ago to be editor of Green Focus when the last editor was getting ready to resign. And I said no, because if I put that kind of time into it, that means time away from my paying job and time away from my family, and I just can't give those things up. So I think ads and Green Focus could get us a long way. So that's one way to think about helping grow the party. Thanks.
While we're on the subject, thank you, Bia. We had a plan to put advertising into Green Focus. And the idea is that you can make a Green Focus a real money generator. And it doesn't have to go into the newspaper. It can be an insert with on each page you can get 6 ads that are about yay big, and each item can generate $200 per issue. So you could easily generate $6,000 per issue. And so going back into Green Focus was one subject, and fundraising is another subject. So using maybe some of the things that we do now to actually generate funds. We passed a procedure a while back to let, and Campaigns and Candidates has done well with this, to let the working groups and standing committees actually generate revenue directed at their group. Clearinghouse is now trying to put that money that we get from buttons back into that account, so we recapitalize. It's just a matter of being a little bit business savvy and business professional. So that goes right along with fundraising. And any folk that know folks that are adept at newspaper manufacture, I'd be glad to be in touch with you, and look at having a group do that so it doesn't all fall on one person. I love the idea about the paid person generated by advertising so that we actually abide by that 10th key value of sustainability.
No,
we hadn't gotten quite that sophisticated. I don't want to bog down into this. You start talking
yes,
about.
Yes, please. We don't want to bog down in these details.
But let's take it up on the Grow Teleconference. That would be the appropriate place for it.
It's a
and really needs to remain a statewide paper and remain an outreach tool to facilitate many of these other ideas. But please remind me to put that on the Grow teleconference.
Mike said he had a short item to bring up, but before too many people leave, we'd like to interrupt the stack, and Mike has graciously said we could interrupt it, to announce the GPUS results.
Stand up.
Yeah, okay, so the voting people have reported in the results, and all candidates they report have passed the threshold. I would like one clarification from John Winger. That is in reference to the two separate elections, right? There was that one stack for the delegates and then the one person running for the alternate slot. Yeah. Right.
And with respect to the other one, the candidates who were the three people plus the virtual candidate, you know, the candidate and the software used to open SCV, all three made it.
Congratulations.
Yay. Okay, all candidates made it.
So a couple quick Green Focus comments. Give him to Larry.
I'm on the I'm an advisor to the editorial board of our national newsletter, and a couple of things. I think that while it's okay that we do a PDF online, we really should have the articles in separate HTML links for each article. It makes it much easier to send an individual article around to link to it from your county homepage if it's about somebody in your county, and makes individual link, Michael, to each article rather than a single PDF for the whole publication. It just makes it much more accessible. Number two, with the national publication, we have installed or are using WordPress, which allows each article to be used as a blog, and people can write comments after each article that's published. It gives us a chance to join the old 2.0 world of internet and make it more interactive, which can get a little bit more involvement with our articles and the site, and make it, a better party building strategy. I want to respectfully disagree on the advertising as virulently as possible. I twice defeated that on a national level with having our national paper. I believe that it entirely compromises the journalistic integrity of a paper like ours to take advertising, and we're writing as a political party. We're constantly talking about not taking corporate money and being above influence, etc. And I think that our political analysis when we write it in our articles needs to be seen as not influenced by donations, and even from friendly donations by Green Movement folks, because we have to be able to criticize unions or faux, you know, greenwashing or whatever it is. So I really think that we need to look elsewhere for income and should not be mixing together taking in money with our journalism. I'm happy to provide the arguments that I sent in to the National Party to our own people if and when we ever have that debate. Our Green Focus State Party newsletter, currently when you go to the web, there's a single PDF file for the entire issue, and one scrolls through the entire issue to find the article. But if you wanted to share an article about your congressional campaign that was in the issue, it'd be better to have a single link for each article, stand alone, and then you have a home page for that issue, so that if somebody wants to share an individual article or link to it, they can simply send it around. It makes it 100 times more accessible.
Okay, what are you guys queuing up for here?
I just want to remind us that all of these are just ideas. We're not negating anybody else's idea. These are just ideas that we are feeding forward from folks that we've met with. So, you know, let's make sure all of these ideas stay on the table for future consideration.
Why, Craig Thorson, L.A. County. Why I'm up here is because this is a time segment for strategy plan discussion. I have a strategy plan discussion item. That item is, I'm a member of the United Church of Christ, the same church that Obama is a member of. In 2007, 2 weeks before our convention in Reading, I went to the General Synod of my church in Hartford, Connecticut. At that time, they were able to tell me where our meeting was in 2009 and 2011 and 2013. They had the meetings planned out 8 years in advance. GPUS does not have 8 years in advance, 4 years, 2 years, or even next year. That's what we're planning right now. California is anticipating three plenaries or meetings next year. Three meetings next year, and we don't even have dates. I would suggest that this group needs to plan out 2 or 4 years in advance, not possibly the next one 4 months from now.
On that... account, one of the things that for the brief time when I was co-coordinator, I tried to get us to do, actually through the agenda committee, is I think that we really should, in order to plan future meetings, have a better financial accounting of each of these state meetings and kind of on an ongoing basis have a standardized format to what everything costs and what we get back. And, you know, it just... basic accounting, but we don't have that. So we have no sense from meeting to meeting about how we're doing and what it's all happenstance and hearsay. So whether it's the agenda committee or some other committee, there needs to be a standard format, RTF, and a reporting done after each meeting of money in and out and what it really costs us so we can plan better for these in the future. And what we're going to do on the national level now is we're actually, since we have an annual meeting committee, it's going to review the bids that Eric, I know we here we're just hoping to get any bid whatsoever to host the meeting, but there we're actually going to analyze, because the finances are on a bigger level, to actually analyze and make recommendations about anybody's bids before it goes for a vote of the National Committee about whether we actually host those meetings or not. So they're just trying to emphasize there needs to be a lot more accounting about what we spend and not, so we can plan in the future.
I don't understand. The financial accounting as far as expenses per plenary?
Per plenary, yes, yes. The whole in and out, what it costs us, how much do we spend to subsidize, rent, et cetera, to get a feel about what these things really mean for us financially. Yes.
This should be too.
This should be too. And there should be a standardized form that we ask every group to fill out about, you know, a certain constant set of questions about what did you spend for this, for this, for this, for this, just so we know what these meetings going into them. Well, that's the other thing. What Kenny Mostern had recommended when he was treasurer, and I think he's entirely right, and we've been doing it wrong forever, is we make these things loans, and we just say to the local, you go ahead and take whatever money you want. Instead, these are meetings of the state party. These are not meetings of locals. And this should be in our state party budget, and all the money should be going to our treasurer, and we should be contracting with the local to pay them for services, not just this amorphous. I mean, if anybody wants to screw this party over, this should be reported in our annual reporting with the state. These should not be on the accounting of Orange County or the other local or the other local.
I just needed a direction on the flavor of what you saw.
You got that.
So
yeah. Sure. Thank you.
There's no reason to beat a dead horse. There are some common threads I see that I believe the coordinating committee can deal with in a realistic fashion. I see some comments that really need to be well digested and percolated through committees that have been brought up here. But there are some very real things here, Craig. Thank you. For one thing, I can tell you many people monitor our listservs. And lots of language that has gone out has been quoted back indirectly by about three times over, and using certain terminology about what is functioning or not functioning in the Green Party, and the name calling and things, does give us the appearance of being not civilized. So I think there is a real way to look at some of that. I don't know exactly how it would fit into a strategic plan, but certainly the common thread of finding issues that everybody can buy into, that can be used in campaigns. I see that activism is a part of it. I see electoral getting candidates is a part of it. I see issues part of it. Somehow this has to be melded together, and that's the job of the CC to do that. We may be putting out an appeal for some help in terms of a committee, I'm sure. But I thank you very much for honest input, for your attendance and your hanging in here. But I have no objection to going home either. So unless you have some other input for the CC via this meeting right here, my part of this presentation is over. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and that was the last item on the agenda. So we can thank the host committee very much and congratulate each other for hanging in there and say good night. Okay, yeah, a quick closing ceremony.